Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Division for Your Big Book Study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 12, 2024. Today we're reading in the Big Book, Bill's Story. That's page 13, that fourth paragraph, and we are reading, starting, I was to test my thinking, and we end with, but that would be in great measure. All right, today's readers are, for the steps, we have Tenzin P. For the traditions, we have Jim F. Starting us off with the text is Ramona A. Page 164 is Emery M. Our backup is Marge O. Newcomer greeters Chris G. Second hour host is Karen K. And announcements is Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, April 11th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,307. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,308. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the 12 practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of overeaters. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Tenzin P. to read the steps.
Good morning, Russ and everyone. Tenzin P. checking in to read the steps. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. I pass.
All right, Tenzin, thank you very much. Next up is Jim F. with the traditions.
Good morning, Jim F. from Illinois. These are the 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group. Leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately three minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study in Bill's story at page 13, the fourth paragraph, which starts with, I was to test my thinking, and it ends with, but that would be in great measure. Ramona A. is going to start us off today with the reading.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Ramona A. in Vermont, a recovered compulsive overeater. I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself except as my request bore my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. Well, to me, this paragraph is a core paragraph, or maybe the core paragraph for recovery, even core paragraph for how I live my life. I know that my God, as I understand him, has grown, the relationship has grown over the years, you know, that I've been in program. And so it's different now. And I say my thinking then has grown also, you know, into more trust and more understanding of what I feel God's will is for me. But that's how I should test all my thinking, because my thinking before, in my head, in my ego, my thinking was how I got here. You know, this is how I should solve this. This is how this should be done. This is what you should do, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not what he's saying. It says we need to test it by our God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. So my idea before that, oh, if I could just get wealthy, if I could get the right house, and oh, if my husband would do what I thought he should do, et cetera, et cetera, then that was my common sense. I'd be happy. But what he's saying is my happiness is going to come from doing what God wishes, and that to be serving others. So sit quietly, and sitting quietly, I can then take take away all those noises in my mind and listen to God. Otherwise, I'm listening to my ego and meet my problems as he would have me. Not pray for myself, because praying for myself, I once prayed to win a $50 million lottery. It didn't work very well. What I need to do is pray that I may be helpful to others. And then not only would I receive in great measure, but I would understand that I was receiving in great measure, that I would see what was happening throughout the day, see where God was working in my life, and see how I would be able to help others. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Ramona. Appreciate it. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Allow others to have a shot at sharing. And who would like to share?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie Grace B.
Katie G. Robbie from Boston.
Okay, Bonnie,
Rachel K.
Katie
G.
Okay, hold on. Got Bonnie B., Lauren, Grace. I got Katie, Robin. There's someone else in there, Robin.
Rivka R.
Rachel K.
That's what Rachel is. Rachel. Rachel K. Rivka R. We could take a couple more.
Nancy R.
Nancy. And one more. Who else?
Elena C.
That's right, Miss. I'm sorry. Elena C. And then Yvonne. We'll go Yvonne. Page. So that's a great lineup. We got Bonnie B., Lauren Grace B., Katie G., Robin P., Rivka R., Rachel K., Nancy R., Elena C., and Yvonne H. All right, Bonnie, you're up.
Okay, am I up? Did you say my name, Russ?
Yep. And
thanks,
if you're not,
so much. Sorry.
Bonnie, please pause your line. Please mute your line. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Thank you so much. Thanks for moderating today. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful paragraph. Oh, my goodness. This was a game changer for me. This is step 10 to me, right? I get to test my thinking by this new God consciousness. Everything that I thought was exactly opposite of what it was supposed to be, because everything I thought always started and ended with me, even in my prayers. And this is, I guess there's no shame and guilt anymore, but I'll tell you, coming in, it was sobering to think that every time I prayed, and I was a woman that believed in praying, I had a list. I had a list, and it might not have been a lottery, but it was still my list. It was exactly what I wanted, exactly how I wanted everything to play out in my life with regards to our six kids, my marriage. I just had a list, and so I went to God like he was a genie, and it's exactly the opposite of what it's supposed to be. The word picture that I use when I think about, the gift of being able to live in that place of emotional sobriety right now is like if I were to go out swimming. You know, I can tread water, and this is what I did, prior to program. I would tread water, and it would feel like it was okay for a little bit. And then it would start to become hard, and I'd start looking around. And then if a wave came, I felt like I was sucking in water. And when I get to live in the 10th step, step 10, 11, and 12, when I get to allow God to do what God wants to do instead of me deciding how I think it should happen, it's like me deciding to float on my back. Instead of treading water and sucking water in and thinking I'm going to drown and where's the buoy and where are the people and where's the boat, I get to go to my back and look up. And when I float on my back, and it's pretty carefree, right? I get to start looking at the clouds. I get to start looking at all the things that God has made. And this is that place of peace where it says at the end, then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. I put next to that peace. For the first time in my life, I had peace because I didn't have to know what I was supposed to do. I had to know who I needed to run back to. And the line that I use often is, I immediately, if I'm restless, irritable, discontent, or I would say if I lose my peace, I immediately pivot. Very small movement. I pivot, I lean in, I look up, and I run back to that 10th step to figure out what is no longer aligned with my God. And usually it's me trying to do me again. And it's where I've lost the gift of sitting quietly and trusting God that he's going to do for me what I can't do for myself. And I don't have any idea what that's supposed to look like, but he does. And so day in and day out, I get to live in a place of emotional sobriety. And as my brain goes, so goes the rest of my world. And I think with that, I'll pass. And thanks again, everyone. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next up is Lauren Grace B, followed by Katie G.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lauren Grace B, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in South Jersey. And the part of the reading that stuck out to me was common sense would thus become uncommon sense. And it reminds me of a quote I know that says, God's wisdom is foolishness to the world, and the world's wisdom is foolishness to God. And it reminds me also how this program's uncommon sense is demonstrated in the 11th step prayer. It says, true receiving is found in giving, and you have to die to yourself to truly live, which is not the way of the world. It's not the way of most people. And this program is also uncommon food. Right now, from what I understand, it's very popular with counselors and psychologists to eat in moderation and to eat intuitively. And intuitive eating led me away from abstinence until at the end I was binging my way up and down the Ocean City boardwalk all summer. So as an addict, the world's wisdom does not work for me. And also the fact that I'm swimming upstream and living in uncommon sense, it makes this fellowship so important. For me, I need the support of my fellows and the meetings because I'm doing something that's different than the ways of the world. Being a compulsive overeater can be lonely, but when I come to the meetings and when I speak with people on the phone, I'm embraced for the person that I am. And I'm also blessed and grateful that I have accountability with my sponsor and with God through this program, which again, would be uncommon sense in the ways of the world. They would say it's controlling, but for me, it's life-giving. I'm blessed and grateful that I found my medicine, and I have no desire to live in common sense when it comes to treating this disease. So I'd like to say to the newcomers, don't be afraid that all of this sounds crazy and uncommon. It is uncommon sense, but for most of us, we found that it's the only thing that works. And that's all. Thank you so much.
All right, Lauren Grace, thank you. Next up is Katie B, followed by Katie G, followed by Rama P. How did I get that name wrong?
Hey, Russ, Katie G, recovered in Boston. Wow, what a paragraph. You know, one thing I want to say is if you're not on step 10, do not be afraid and do not try it. You know, step 10 for me is about, it talks about the maintenance of my spiritual condition, right? And I think it's interesting. It doesn't say that contingent on my spiritual condition, but it talks about contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And recently I've been obsessed with a definition of maintenance that I found, which is make it possible for life to continue or to exist. So for me, step 10 and 11 are making it possible for me to, for my life to exist or continue because my way of thinking and acting is opposite to the way that I have to live. You know, some things that, a lot of things that come up when I do my step 10 is, Katie, is God everything or is he nothing? So if God is everything, which is the decision that we make in, what is that, step two or three? I don't know. Step three, if God is everything, right? Then what is happening right now with my children, with my husband, with my fellows, with my friends, that means that it's meant to be happening, right? That means that God is with me. And the other thing I think is my theme song here is this prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. right? So I've done all this work. I've gotten entirely abstinent for some reason, weighing and measuring my blueberries and staying abstinent, not just from addictive foods, but addictive food behaviors, which include for me, I've got to weigh and measure my food. I've got to abstain from compulsive exercise, all of that, right? And then I've done inventory and I've seen the exact nature of my wrongs. And what happens after I do inventory and ask God to remove my defects and then make amends? I got to live. I got to have a whole new way of living. And all of the junk, God willing, all of the junk at step 10 by step 10 has been cleared out. So God, make me a channel of your peace where there is hatred. I cannot afford resentments. Resentments are the number one offender. And I got to tell you, even if I'm thinking resentfully, I don't get to answer that first question on step 11. No. Was I resentful? Yes, I was judging people, right? Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. So you mean when people hurt me, I need to pardon them? Well, if I expect to be pardoned, I need to be pardoning, right? And that I need to pray for others? That is so counterintuitive, but the abundance and the God and the new way of life is contingent on me giving to others first, right? That is my primary purpose. As an agent for God today, I need to stay abstinent and help others. So if you're new or you're in relapse or you're just miserable, take this olive branch. We can get you to God. And with that, I pass.
All right, Katie, thank you. Next up is Robin P., followed by Rivka R.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks so much. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Just so grateful. Oh, such great shares. I totally agree. And for me, taking that, being willing to take that pause is just such a huge blessing, because it used to be that I would compulsively act on whatever my thought was. And I have to do this. I have to solve this. I have the illusion of control. And I have to fix this. I know I can do it. And then I can go, ta-da, you know, and it's all just an illusion. And to be willing to take that pause with God and just remember to surrender, I can't, you can, I'm letting you, is such a huge gift in itself that I just get to go, oh, yeah, I'm powerless over this. And it's the people, places, and things, you know, I just, wow, I'm not supposed to be powerful over that person. And I just call it the royal pause, you know, giving it back to God. And so that's such a miracle. And then having a solution of 10, 11, and 12. Because I don't need to do a step 10 if I just resent somebody for a second and give it to God and get on my merry way. But if I am, if it comes back again and I know, oh, hello, okay, time to go do a 10 step. And it just makes me free so I can get to that even keel again, so I can be at peace with God and my fellows. And, you know, I used to think my resentments were right, you know, and it doesn't matter. I can be right or I can be happy. And I choose to be happy today. We're traveling for 2 months to Europe, traveling through Europe. We're going to 15 places in 2 months. This time we leave on Monday. And I'm so grateful for this program. It's such a miracle. We've done this before a couple years ago, and abstinently. I've been abstinent for 8 years by God's grace, one day at a time. And I'm so grateful that I travel abstinently with God's grace and mercy in all of you. And I'm so grateful for Vision. No matter where I am in the world, I get to tune in and stay connected to God and my fellows. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day and weekend, and I pass. Thanks again.
Thanks, Robin. Next up is Rivka, followed by Rachel K. Can you understand my handwriting here?
Good morning. Thanks so much, Russ, for your service. Yeah, this is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. Yeah, that line, I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Like, that's it. That's the key. That's the key to surrender. That's the key to this whole program. that's what I never got for the first 33 years until I came back about 3 years ago. I don't know why that seems so impossible and so scary and why I would keep forgetting to do it, but that is the essence of trust. It's the essence of relationship. It's the essence of humility. And my disease definitely doesn't want me to do this, but this is what makes life work. This is where I can start to develop emotional sobriety. I so appreciate last Sunday's wonderful special edition when she read Bill Wilson's letter about emotional sobriety. Like for 33 years, I kept relapsing because that's what I didn't develop, because I missed this key. Even though I'd read it so many times, it's like it just, you know, glazed over it. And I was still so reactive to people and circumstances. And I'm not perfect at this, but I'm getting better, a lot better, at noticing and accepting that if I'm having a problem, I'm the problem. And I have the key to the solution, sitting quietly and asking for direction and strength to meet my problem as he would have me. Like, this is the key out. And when did I ever do that? You know, it's the key out of selfishness and self-centeredness and my perfectionism and insecurity. And it's the key out of feeling like a victim. Like, if I'm a channel for God's will, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to feel insecure. I don't have to kill myself with food. I can. It is the key to freedom, and I'm so grateful to finally have my eyes opened up and the blinders taken away and realizing this is it. So thanks for letting me share, and have a wonderful, blessed day, everyone I pass.
Thanks, Rivka. Next up is, before we get Rachel up there, let me let you know where we're at if you jumped on a little later. We're in Bill's story, page 13, that fourth paragraph. I was to test my thinking, and ending with, but that would be in great measure. All right, Rachel K's up, and she's going to be followed by Nancy R.
Hi, thanks, Russ. This is Rachel K in Indiana. And when you look at it on the face of it, this paragraph looks crazy. You know, this idea looks nuts. You know, sit quietly and get inspiration from what this invisible man in the sky. But the reality is it works. Like, that's what, when I surrendered to this program, I was just like, you know, would I rather be right or would I rather be happy? I see all these people for whom these things, they work, and they seem to be really happy. So if I get to the end of my life and it turns out that I was wrong and I trusted like something that didn't exist, you know, with my life and my will, but I've lived a happy, you know, abstinent life and I'm not killing myself with the food, then I kind of don't care. Like, joke's on me. Like, who cares? Like, it works. And, you know, talking about uncommon sense, I did something crazy this morning. You know, I wrote my 10th step, and in my 10th step, you know, and in some two-way prayer, the writing that I got back from God was, you know, put this in your God box. And for those of you who don't know, like, a God box is just like a little box. I write down whatever it is, you know, that I'm doubtful about or a problem that I have, a little piece of paper, I stick it in the box. And then I let go of it. It's just basically a symbolic way of turning it over, of step three, of saying, okay, God, you know, my hands are off it. And I even sometimes throw up my hands and go, okay, it's not mine anymore, God, it's yours. And it's amazing that intuitive thought or a decision will come. Not immediately, you know, it's not a magic eight ball for those of you over 30 or 40, you remember that thing that you would like shake and you'd ask it a question, it would tell you an answer. It's not that. You know, it's something so much better and so much deeper. You know, if I can pause, sit quietly, turn this over to God, you know, God's got it. And then that's the key thing here is keeping my hands off the wheel, is, you know, letting go and trusting God's got it. God will solve it. And, you know, in the meantime, I don't just sit around, you know. I help others. I do whatever is in front of me. You know, like it says in this paragraph, you know, unless it's, never as I say to myself, except as my request bore and my usefulness to others. So I don't just sit around waiting for God to give me an answer or, you know, whatever. I help others. I pray for how to help others. And if a clear answer doesn't come, you know, then obviously I'm just supposed to take one action and maybe make a mistake, and that's okay, because God is going to help me and protect me too if I make a mistake, you know, as long as my aim is to do His will, as long as my aim is to help His kids. So anyway, have a great weekend. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thanks, Rachel. Next up is Nancy R., followed by Elena C.
Good morning. It's Nancy R. from Northwest Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, what a great meeting. Good shares. I was just right before the meeting, I was spending time in conscious contact with God, doing my morning 11 step. And was reminded, probably by my higher power, to open in my OA app and read On Awakening. And so then here we are in this paragraph about step 11. I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within, asking for direction and strength to meet my problems as He would have me. And, you know, that's what pages 86, 88 in the big book also talk about later on. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. Like just continuing to give my will and my life over to God. And every morning to ask God to direct my thinking, especially asking it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. I'm just so thankful for this step, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm waking up in the morning and connecting with my guide consciousness and asking for help throughout the day. And, you know, later on, you know, it says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. Thy will be done. And what I've done that works for me is to take thy will be done and ask, what's next, God? Because I'm in my head. And I've got that wheel, like someone just talking about getting your hands off the wheel. I've got that wheel, and I am trying to get it to go, that car to go in the direction I want it to go. And it's like the power steering has broken, and it's really hard and struggling. And, you know, if I just let go and give whatever I'm struggling with to God, it becomes like a hands-free, a driverless car, you know, a self-driving car. My life becomes a self-driving life. Not self-driving, but God. So it's God driving. I take my hands off the wheel, and instead of the engine and computer of the car keeping me safe, God's keeping me safe. So that's what I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Elena C., followed by Yvonne H. Star one, Elena. All right, let's get Yvonne up, and then we'll go back to Elena if we can. Yvonne H., you're up.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service, everybody, for sharing. Glad to be here. Yvonne, compulsive binger. Yeah, this fourth paragraph, there are many things I would like to share on. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems. That's very, very important for me. I spent a lot of years, many years, more than 2 decades, I guess, waiting that something happens and then I can do something. But that didn't work. And I wondered, why doesn't this work? Why doesn't this program work with me? I was waiting. I was waiting until something happens, and then I do something. Then I learned that it's the other way around. God wants me to do something in order to allow him to do something for me. And I started doing things, and my life changed. And in all of this doing, one of them is I sit quietly. I need quiet time. More than once a day, more than twice a day, I need a quiet time very often in a day and just stop and see what God wants from me. That's one point. The other one is never was I to pray for myself. I do pray for myself. I do pray for myself. I tell God my wishes, what I would like to have. But I always end saying, not my will, thy will be done. Just if you also want it. And there's one prayer I have from my sponsor, which is, please God, block from me everything which is not good for me and allow what is okay for me. This is so good. It frees me. Really sets me free. I don't have to struggle anymore. And when it says here, I was to test my thinking by the new God conscious within, that's, for me, that's 10th step, 10th, 11th step. I am so happy to have that step. It is a gift after doing all the other steps. I need to be willing to do all my steps, and I can do them in one day. I need to be willing. I need willingness to do all the steps, and in 10th step 10, 11, I test my thinking because I share my inventory with others. And I get a feedback. They tell me. So I'm in conscious contact with God. And I need to be in conscious contact with God. I need to reaffirm, thank you so much, reassure myself that God is everything. And with this, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Ross, I finally was able to get in.
All right.
Elena, see him.
You got it.
Well, thank you. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. We cover for today. And what a beautiful paragraph. And all paragraphs are just so awesome in this awesome spiritual book that teaches me everything about spirituality. I really mean that. So, okay, so Bill takes step 11 in this paragraph, and then, you know, the new God consciousness within, what does that mean? For me, it's a new awareness of who God is. And, you know, that entity inside of me that is non-judgmental, loving, compassionate, who wants me to show up for the world, and carries these qualities to the world and contribute to the world, not only to my growth, but to the world's growth. And don't we need people like that, you know? And quietly, I cannot describe how much God I gain when I pause, because I have a type A personality. And I am go, Elena, go, Elena, do this, do that, you know, get this, get that. I'm a go-getter. You know, I'm a human doing, and I'm not a human doing. I am a human being. I just need to be with God. I need to be with myself. And another thing is not praying for myself. I love that, because
what if I can, for example, say, hey, God, you know, I need some money, get some money my way today. No, I can get, I can ask God, but then I need to sit quietly and reflect, if I get money, who else might be helping? Who else can I help? And I can help my daughter to pay for her schooling, for example, right? And so when I reflect on how it will help others, I get out of myself into the world. And I am, you know, I am providing compassion, empathy, and making myself equal, the same like with the rest of the world, because I'm not the center of the universe. It's not about God, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's not about that. It's much bigger than that. And one other thing, uncommon sense, meaning being consistently and distinctively different, different from the way I was before, and meaning understanding my beliefs, or the common sense that I miss out on. I missed out on, I had no idea that I had that. And so now through this recovery of mine, particularly this 11th step, I can get in touch with that. And that's the God consciousness within. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena. So we're going to take another list. We could take about, I'm thinking, three or four more. So if you didn't share on this week, on Wednesday or Thursday, let me know. Who would like to jump in?
Danny P.
Ruben H. Israel. I got Ruben H. Israel. All right. Danny P. I got Ruben.
Denise P.
Denise.
Anne Marie M.
And then Anne Marie.
William P.
This is, I think that's all we can do. Denise. So we got Danny P., I think it was. Ruvain M, I think, or H, Ruvain H, I think, Denise P, and Amory M. I hope to get everybody, and if there's time, we'll get more. All right, I think it was Danny P.
Good morning, Ross. Can I be heard?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ross. Thank you. Thank you for your service. I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, only by God's grace and mercy. And I'm from Brazil, São Paulo. Yeah, I love this paragraph and all the previous ones. They outline very simply the program of action. And here I'm invited to improve my conscious contact and to pray for, to ask for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. And it's very interesting that in step two, I start having this contact with this power. I realize there is a power and that this power can help me. And I start having contact with this power. And in step three, I start a relationship with this power. Step four through nine are designed to remove all the obstacles in this relationship. In step 10, I will continue to submit myself to the process so that the removal of the obstacles, so I can maintain this channel clear. And here in step 11, I will improve this conscious contact. I will improve this deep awareness of a power greater than myself. This is really the essence of the spiritual awakening, of the spiritual experience. The nature of my disease is selfishness, is self-centeredness. So the nature of the antidote is other-centeredness. I need to be turned from this natural state of selfishness to a spiritual state, focusing on others. And that's why it's so important this God consciousness, this deep awareness of this power and this relationship with this power. And for me, the most beautiful spiritual paradox is the more I give, the more I receive. The more I help others and I pray for their benefit, the more I receive immunization and protection against this disease. The more I pray, the more I meditate, the more I sit quietly and I ask God for guidance, the more I feel I become aware of His loving presence. I feel His love and His power flowing in, and I'm healed from this disease. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Danny. Next up is Ruvane H., followed by Denise P.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks, everybody, for your service. Ruvane H. from Israel. You know, I started to focus at the beginning when I looked at this paragraph and focusing on the paragraph itself. And then as I reflected on it, what came to me was Bill is going over a process of solution to arrest alcoholism and compulsive overeating as we use it. So this process, which started on page 9, he gets, and I'm just identifying with it as a process because it also relieves me of the fact of knowing, like, why can't I get this today? Well, Bill had lots of todays, and he didn't get it every day. He didn't get everything every day. So Bill first gets a visit by Abby. He's drinking. He sees a miracle in front of him. And that's a big part of the process. He sees a miracle. He saw something. Here's God is the source from Abby. Then he reflects on his early ideas about God. And then he realizes that he had certain acceptances of God, but there were only certain parts. He adopted those parts which seemed convenient. If it was too difficult, he disregarded. I certainly identify with all that. Then he reflects more on the miracle in front of him. And then he reflects again about his misgivings. And then he's told, well, with God, you can choose a concept of God yourself, a personal higher power. I now am beginning to have this personal higher power. Then he understands the matter of willingness to believe is a beginning. And this beginning for him, scales of pride and prejudice fall away from my eyes. Never would it came in, the new world came into view. Again, he starts thinking about God. The presence blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly inside, our obsessions, our thinking, who we are, and he returns to drinking. And then another key piece, treatment seemed wise. He needed to treat himself, and together with everything else that came up, he's faced with his sins, he's separated forever, and then he begins to test out this whole process he's learned, sitting quietly, asking for direction, praying for others, and the great measures of reward that he receives. And it's just, to me, that it's just to look at the process, it is a primer for a solution to arrest addiction, alcoholism, and now compulsive overeating. And look how much it's developed. And being 5 months recovered, I'm just identifying with this process and understand a bit more, too, about why couldn't it just happen last week, last month? And I didn't give up, and I stayed in it because we never know when the miracle is going to happen. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ravine. Appreciate it. Next up is Denise P., followed by Amory M., if we can fit her in here. I think of, unless, how about we do, Denise takes 2, Amory takes 2 minutes. Is that all right? Can we do that?
Thank you, Ross. This is Denise P. in Pittsburgh. I was going to say I only need a small amount. I only have a small amount to share. And so thank you, everyone. Thank you for the inspiration weaved inside of what my higher power has for me. And so to pass on that, long time ago, somebody described in treatment to me about step three, that when that's a spiritual recovery and when I fall from step three, it's always when I take, it's always about self. And so today, with the help of learning how that Harlan in a podcast said how the 10, all 12 steps are here, for today, where it says, never was I to pray for two words, not one, I was taught. Never to pray for my one word and my two word self. And what a revelation that it's all not about self. It's about letting my higher power work with who I am as myself and get out of myself and being in God's will. And I can't take credit for any of this. This is all to the credit of my higher power as I understand him today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Denise. Appreciate that. Next up is Anne-Marie M. If you could take 2 minutes, we'll be right on point.
All right. Great. Thanks so much, Russ. This is Anne-Marie M., grateful, compulsive, recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and recovered by working the steps in this book and by God removing the obsession. And when I my first thought, I used to think that common sense would thus become common sense in regards to my compulsive eating. When I felt uncomfortable, it was common sense for me to go to the food and to stuff my feelings. And now, recovered after going through the process of this, these steps, it is not common. It is very uncommon. When I feel something, I do a 10-step. And I never pray for myself. What I was taught was about the third step prayer and the St. Francis prayer. And the third step being, God, you know, I offer myself to you. Just take me, God, and do what you want me to do so that I can serve you. I am here to serve you. On page 77, it says, our primary purpose is to fit ourselves into being of maximum to God and to others. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it says, but I'm here to serve God. And the St. Francis prayer talks about understanding rather than being understood. And that's what I learned in this program. And the compulsion to overeat was removed from me. It wasn't something that I did. But I had to work these steps, and I had to become a servant of God. And I do that by praying and by looking at my defects. I've heard so many good things through in this one call, that one is one, and that when I am upset about something, I need to look at it. What is my part in it? When someone else upsets me, it's something going on with me that I need to look at. And then I need to ask God to remove it. I can't do this stuff by myself. And I call others because I truly believe that those working 10, 11, living in 10, 11, 12, God speaks through them to me. Thank you.
All right, Anne-Marie, thanks a lot. Thanks to everybody that shared. I'm going to find my scripts here. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study following the closing. I think I would remember that, right? All right, here, today's share ID for Friday, April 12th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. It's 21,310. 21,310. And next up, reading page 164 is Anne-Marie M. She's going to read, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only."
Okay, thanks. Anne-Marie M. again here, recovered compulsive overeater. "This book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him as you and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.